So the next presentation is a NIM MixNet from Jon Hogblad. So welcome,
Jon. Yeah, thank you very much. Right, it's great to be here. Presentation all seems to be working. Right, so I'll talk about NIM. Title is Intro to a New Anonymous Communication Network. There's quite a lot of overlap to the previous presentation about the concepts involved. And who am I? My name is Jon Hogblad, or sometimes I go by just John for simplicity. I'm from Sweden, developer. I spend my days writing Rust, back-end type things. I used to do C++ and scientific computing in a previous life. I live in Stockholm. Yeah, that's me. Right, so the NIM MixNet. What's the NIM MixNet? So the basics, I mean, this is, obviously it's free software. The source code is available on GitHub over there. It's Apache licensed. It's mostly written in Rust. All the backend stuff is written in Rust. Some of the frontend things is TypeScript. This was, in the past, this has been funded by some EU projects. And currently, there is a Switzerland-based startup who does the majority of the development. But yeah, it's an open project, and of course, we welcome public contributions. And it's quite deeply rooted in university as well, in university research. We have some world-class researchers associated with the project. The concepts aren't things that we sort of came up ourselves. This is state-of-the-art research. Right, so what is the problem that we're trying to solve? We had the usual suspects, the government surveillance and surveillance capitalism, and which of these two is a problem, very much depends on where in the world you are. In some parts of the world, these things aren't that big of a concern. For other people, this is serious matter. This is of grave concern to some people, depending on who you are and where you live. And what is the aspect that we try to tackle here? Because there's a lot of privacy platforms that tries to attack this challenge from different perspectives. The NIM MixNet is a network layer, or it's a transport layer thing. And the main challenge that we focus on is that it has become clear in the last 10 years that there's now so much surveillance going on, and there are some entities that collect so much data on a global scale that they almost get some sort of like a God's eye view of the network. They can monitor the network on a planet scale, and they can correlate using leaked metadata, your transmission patterns, your packet sizes, your timings. They can do end-to-end correlations, even though your data is sent entirely encrypted the whole way or obfuscated, but still, if you can sort of monitor at all endpoints, you can sort of still draw conclusions, you can identify who talks to who. And as we know, who talks to who is sometimes more important than what they say from a sort of surveillance perspective. So that's the angle, the challenge that we try to tackle with this. And so now I'm sort of taking a step back here, so I'm referring to as the NIM platform, which is, then I'll use this quote here, a decentralized incentivized mixnet plus private credentials. And my talk here will be to try to unpack what all of this means. And we're gonna start then with the what I think is the sort of the core part is the mixnet, the word in the middle there. I think if you use something like Tor as a starting point, that's sort of a very good first step to understand what it is. And just like Tor, and just like the previous talk, it's an overlay network. It's in the same way as I2P uses onion routing, where all packets are wrapped in layers of encryption to hide the fact, to hide the end destination of each packet. It's based on the Loopix design. If you know a little bit about mixnets, you probably have heard about Loopix. I put in a few citations here at the bottom if you want to read a bit more about these things. It uses Sphinx packets, so that the idea is that all packets are wrapped into these identically looking and identically behaving packets. to hide these sizes and timings. And also each packet as it moves through, because you know, MixNet is, I mean, okay, so something I forgot to mention. MixNet is very much what it sounds. It's data, you send through data, multiple hops, you mix data as much as you can through a cloud of nodes. At each node, I'm gonna have some pictures on the next slide to illustrate it better. On each hop in the network, you add things like random timings, which effectively reorders traffic. You add cover traffic, which cover traffic can appear in many ways, either like between the nodes, but also, for example, if you as a client connect to network to transmit data, you emit Sphinx packets at a steady average rate. So it's not a steady rate, but it's like, because it's probabilistic how you send the packets. But you send a steady stream of packets, either fake or real ones. So when you have real data to send, you just fill up the packet stream, the packets that you send out, fill up with real data. So from the outside, you can't tell when you're actually sending, when you're bursting data. You attach SERBs, so single-use reply blocks, in your packets, so that when you, if you make a request across the network to get something back, you attach these headers, these metadata, so that the response can be sort of layer encrypted and sent back, so that the on the other side, the server doesn't know where the end destination is. So you hide your identity, but you still allow the other side to reply back to you. It's a picture. The first step here, the first one there, ordinary VPN. And a VPN doesn't give you any anonymity. It just moves trust. So the guy in the middle there, he can still see where data is coming from, where data is going. The second one, you have things like Tor, where you have these nodes in the middle, where you open up a circuit through the sort of swarm of nodes, and you pump data through. And here you have MixNet setup, where you in each packet is mixed individually, so you don't open up a circuit like Tor, for example. You send up each packet is sent as an individual pass through, and the idea here, the crucial thing is that on the other side, you see these packets there. They are now, they're colored white now instead of red, and they're the same size. And you shouldn't be able to tell. You can't correlate who's like the data on the other side compared to on the sender side, which you can in many other systems. Because you can't correlate transmission patterns, timing, sizes. So even if you can monitor all the data, all the exit data from this MixNet cloud, you still can't correlate who talks to who. That's sort of the key thing here. So if we go back then to this quote, so decentralized, incentivized MixNet plus price credentials, what do we mean by incentivized? We mean that the network directory, which keeps track of all the mix nodes and the gateways are a bit like exit nodes in Tor, they are constantly being monitored. The network directory is effectively a set of validators running a consensus protocol. And they keep track of all the mix nodes, how well they mix traffic, how well they contribute capacity to the network, giving them NIMs for it, which in turn can be turned around and used to acquire bandwidth credentials, coconut credentials, is the academic term. And the idea is that we also, because this is always a problem when you have something like this, you with volunteers, you only get so far. You know, anonymity or privacy loves company. You want to disappear in the crowd, so you want to encourage people to provide capacity to the network at the same time as they're using it. That's the idea, because otherwise it becomes difficult to scale up above a sort of very sort of base level. But if you want to make this available for sort of the broader public, you need more capacity, and this is a way that we hope we can achieve this. And these private credentials, the idea is that you break the linkability between your identity and your right to use a service. It's a very deep topic on its own. Here's the citation. There are some cryptographic buzzwords here as well, listed them. Re-randomizable means that if you use the same bandwidth credential multiple times, it's indistinguishable from multiple people using different credentials. from the person redeeming this. But yeah, the idea is you want to break the link between your identity and your right to use something. So the first word there, decentralized. It's not too much to add there. I mean, we have a running network. It's 500 mixed nodes currently. The vision is that this becomes sort of self-running. Anti-fragile funding model. We don't want it to be reliant on a specific company or some funding body or donations or anything. We want this to have robustly running on its own, run by the community entirely, long-term. That's sort of the vision here. Even though currently we have a startup that sort of does the most of the development, we should, long-term, we should be able to hand this off. That's sort of the idea. There's a picture. So this is all running currently. This thing that is currently sort of in deployment or sort of being rolled out are these credentials. Currently, it's free to use the main network. We have all these clients. There's SOCKSFI client. There's a WASM client. There's a native running client exposing a WebSocket. The mixed nodes up there. When you use a user, you connect to the gateway, which is like entry and exit nodes for Tor. You mix the traffic, you exit on the gateway to, and you can have service providers. There's the set of validators keeping track of all the nodes in the system. It's a lot to take in here, probably a lot of details there. I'm not sure it's all visible towards the end, but that's pretty much it. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Yun, a lot for a nice talk. Yeah, thank you for listening. And I think that we have some time, so theoretically we could spend it asking a question at least for 2 minutes here, and then after it we can discuss it outside.
Just 2 minutes. Hi. Can you imagine the NIM framework also to be integrated into another proof-of-stake-based cryptocurrency as a back-end? In the future, maybe?
What did he say first there?
Can you imagine that the main part of the NIM framework, like the mixed nodes and everything around it, can also be attached to an existing proof-of-stake-based other cryptocurrency that is not currently part of your ecosystem?
A big use case of this is that this is sort of on the network layer, so that means it's a big use case is you have all these other privacy systems where in this sort of crypto space where they have these privacy preserving services, but they still leak metadata at the bottom layer. You still leak metadata when you broadcast transactions and things like this. So I think if this were like to integrate this in other systems in this space, then it will be in that layer, the sort of the transport layer. So there's a lot of potential for integrating with other privacy platforms, I think. And in general, with these, I mean, there are a lot of privacy platforms, and I think what we need is a sort of a robust ecosystem. There is no single solution that solves all our problems. We need a robust ecosystem for different solutions for different types of problems or different categories of problems. So I don't see this as a competitor to other systems. It's more they complement each other. For example, like when you add this, you add random delays, for example, that of course, you sort of compromise, you give up a bit of latency, which is, works very well for asynchronous communication, but might not work so well for other categories of applications. So I think something like this is also the complement store. It doesn't replace the store, it sort of complements it.
Okay, thank you again, Yun.
If there's any more questions, just grab me afterwards.
Just go there and ask questions.